Brother Mitch has our special this morning.
Morning. Yeah, I'm going to apologize in advance. I tell you, I guess it's the weather, but my sinuses are killing me. Well, I think this song goes with our message this morning because, you know, the things that we've been talking about and the things that we'll talk about in today's message all comes down to our actions and our motives behind our actions. And so this song, I think, kind of gives us something to think about when we get in a situation where it's time for us to make a decision. Have you counted the cost? There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of His Spirit is lost. And you hurry along with the pleasure-mad throng. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? You may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most, for the glitter of sin and the things it will win. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? While the door of His mercy is open to you, ere the depth of His love you exhaust, won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, I yield? Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Amen. Oh, you got the scripture reading this morning?
This is Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 24. Whenever you fast, don't be sad-faced like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive, so their fasting is obvious to people. I assure you, they've got the reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that you don't show your fasting to people, but your Father, who is in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret, will reward you. Do not collect yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break and steal. But collect for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can be a slave of two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot be the slaves of God and money.
Amen. Thank you, Hope. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time. God is good. We had a lot of fun yesterday with the yard sale and things. There was a lot of work involved, and I'm very sore from that, but I'm sure I'm not the only one. But it was fun, and it was good, and we will find out after a while what the fruits of that labor brought. So, as we continue the study here of the Sermon on the Mount, the things that Jesus taught to us, you know, as I've said already, the bottom line of what he's talking about here is our choices that we make and the motives behind them. When it comes to fasting, he says, you know, don't be a hypocrite about it. Don't go around bragging, well, I'm fasting, so, you know, I can get this done and that done, and I should be able to. Yeah, no, sorry. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says that when we fast, keep it to yourself. Don't let anybody know, you know. I've been around people before who were fasting and talking about, oh, my stomach hurts so bad. And I'm like, why? Oh, because I'm fasting. I haven't eaten anything for 3 days. I'm like, you know, that just defeats the purpose. And so if we want to fast, that's what it should be. We want to. Not we feel like we should. Not that we feel like we have to. But that we want to. Now, why would you want to fast? Well, sometimes God will put a burden on our hearts for somebody or something. And when he puts that burden on there and we pray about it and the burden doesn't go away after we've prayed and prayed and prayed, that's kind of God's way of saying, okay, I want you to go a step further. I want you to fast and pray. And usually we get an answer. You know, Holt's devotion this morning, God says yes, no, or wait. And he doesn't always say wait, though. You just wait. You just don't get an answer, and you wait till he decides that it's the right timing. Then we get the answer. And sometimes that means we have to fast also to get that answer. And then he talks about laying up or storing up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Every godly thing that we do purely with the intention of honoring God, not if we're doing it, you know, well, you know, here's this person over here, and they might need some help, but they're very, very wealthy. So if I help them, maybe they'll give me something in return. And so I'll go do that. No, that's not why we do things for God. That's doing it for ourselves. So we're not laying up treasures in heaven. He says that when we do things for selfish motives, we've already received. When somebody recognizes us for what we've done, we've already received all the reward we're going to get. You wanted something on this earth, you got it. You're done. But when we do it to honor God, when we do it for the purpose of obeying the Word of God, then we're laying up the treasure in heaven. You know, when people store treasures for themselves here, back in the day when this was written, the primary things that people stored up as treasures was types of precious metals and precious cloths. So the two things you had to worry about was rust and moths, because that would destroy all of your savings. Well, today we worry about hackers and other things. But, you know, he doesn't say here that there's anything wrong with someone who is wealthy. There's nothing wrong with having treasures. But it becomes a problem when the treasures have you. In other words, if God blesses us with something, and then later on, someone else comes to us that needs some of what God has blessed us with, if we're unwilling to be a blessing, we won't receive any more blessings in that area. Receiving treasures on this earth is just that. It's things we receive. Having treasures in heaven usually involves giving instead of receiving. You give from your heart because it's the right thing to do to help someone else, whether it's a physical need or a spiritual need, and hopefully you can meet them both at the same time. But often, before you can touch somebody's heart with spiritual needs, you have to help them with their physical needs first. That's a tough one for us because we always wonder, well, what if they're just taking advantage? What if they've been to every church in the county? Well, what if they have? That's between them and God. That's not between us and them. Because we each have to give an account one day for what we did. God doesn't say, I want you to keep track of what so-and-so does and report back to me. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that. So we have to be careful what our motives are. Now, if someone we know, we find out, has taken advantage and comes back to take advantage again, then it's not smart to just keep giving to someone who is personally, you know, is taking advantage, because that's not being good stewards with what is God's. However, it's better if you don't know, rather than to suspect and withhold, it's better to give. And I know I've shared this before, but I'll share it again. When I used to drive a truck, every once in a while, whether I was going to work, coming back to work, or occasionally even in the truck, I would pick up hitchhikers and give them a ride down the road. I was coming home from Columbus, where I worked as a truck yard up there, and there was a guy on the side of the road. It was a big, big husky guy, black man, and he was filthy. I could tell that. But he stuck his thumb out. I stopped, picked him up. I asked him where he was going, and he was headed someplace in Kentucky to go home. And he said he'd been away for many years, and he was headed back home. And so we had a nice talk, got to talking about the Lord, and he said that he was a believer, but got sidetracked. Got away from the truth for a while. Anybody here can identify with that? Get away from the truth for a while? Yeah. And so he was trying to make things right. That's why he was going home. He had had a fight with family members, and he was going home to make things right. These are the things that he said to me. And then I told him I would take him all the way to Henryville because that's where I was going. And so we get to Henryville, and I took him to a gas station closest to the highway, or to the interstate, rather. And he said that he was hungry, and of course there was Schuler's restaurant right there at the time. It's not there anymore, but so I give him $5 to go get something to eat. And this man come around the car, and he give me a bear hug and just picked me completely up off the ground. And when he did that, folks, I'm telling you, I'm almost positive this man was an angel. Because the feeling that came over me, I just cannot describe it. And I watched him walk towards the restaurant, and I started to drive away and look back, and he was gone. Wow. Did he go in the restaurant? I don't know. That's a possibility. But the Bible says that we have to be careful how we treat people because we may unawares entertain angels. Now, part of the challenge, I think, for us of the giving, of the fasting, of the forgiving, of the loving God's way, I think all of this is tied to that, and I think that every once in a while God sends an angel in the form of a human being just to give us a test. Just to give us a test. Are you really loving the way God wants you to love? Are you really doing the things that Jesus did when he was here? Am I really doing these things? You know, God's love, we sing about it this morning, over and over. We sing every Sunday about God's wonderful, amazing grace, God's love, God's mercy, all of these things. But do we really believe it? And if we do, do we just believe that, it's just for me. I received it, and now I'm good, and, you know, literally to hell with everybody else. It's just for me. Or are we doing the things that Jesus said we should do by following his example? You know, Paul was one of the most prolific writers of the New Testament, and he struggled from time to time. And the thing that always has amazed me about Paul, here Paul was in the desert of Arabia, met with Christ, was there, the risen Savior was there with him for 3.5 years to teach him the same way that he taught the other apostles. And after all of that, and after all of his writing, all of his teaching, one time he said, I want to know Christ. He's saying, no matter how much I know him, there's so much more to know. There's so much more that we can receive from Christ than what we've ever known before. There's so much more there than what we have found to this point. And if we just get to the point to where we say, okay, I'm comfortable with where I'm at, we're going to miss all of that. We're going to miss the rest of it. We're not going to get to know him more. We're not going to get a deeper walk with him. We're not going to get more intimate with him. We're going to stay where we are. And if you're not moving forward, you're actually going backwards because the world and God's moving on. Folks, we have to be sincere in our faith. We have to show what we believe. It's one thing to say that I believe. It's another thing to show that I believe. The word in the Bible, in the original language, that talks about belief is a word that means doing what you believe. It's not a word that means a mental assent. And I think so many people think that that's all that the word believe means. Well, sure, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I mean, I believe that. With my brain, I believe that. Do we believe it with our heart? He goes on to talk about your eyes. If our eyes are bad, Have you ever heard the expression that the eyes are the window to the soul, the window to the heart? That's what he's saying here. What we see, what we focus on, what we spend our time thinking about, what we spend our time looking at, and the way that we look at things is from our heart. Now, I talked earlier about looking at someone and saying, I wonder if they're just taking advantage here. Is that the right way we look? Jesus never said that. And he knew who was taking advantage, but he still blessed them anyway. We have to be careful. If the light in our eye is bad, in other words, if what we see with our heart, we look through our eyes, but then with our mind and our heart directs what we see. I remember a time at another church where there was a man and his wife. It was a deacon in a Baptist church, and his wife was a worship leader or something to do with music. They were both very musically inclined, and someone seen her at a truck stop with another man. Now, this started the rumor mill. Now, in this particular case, it turned out that wrong was happening. But what if it wasn't? What if she was ministering or he was ministering to someone, but everybody started wagging their tongues? I saw so-and-so with so-and-so. You shouldn't do that. Well, unless we know all the details, which we never will unless we're told, God knows. But we always assume we know based on what we see. Folks, that's when our eyes get bad, is when we see something without knowing the context of it and making an assumption that we know what's going on. In other words, we're playing God. Our motives are not right. Now, if you see somebody in a situation like that and you walk up to them and say, "Hey, what's going on? How you doing? What's happening here?" You can find out real quick. If you feel like you must know, you can find out real quick. But if you leave there and go talk to so-and-so, and then they talk to so-and-so, and they talk to so-and-so, and you've done wrong. Don't talk about somebody, talk to them. If you've got something to say, don't talk about them, talk to them. Otherwise, the light in your eye is bad. And the result is never good. When we talk about people, you know, there's another scripture in the Bible and Proverbs that says we can speak life or we can speak death. When someone spreads bad rumors about somebody, especially when they are not based on any truth at all, you're destroying that person's life. You are speaking death. In a sense, it's a type of curse that you have put on that person to cause everyone else who's heard it to look down on that person. Let's just stop and think about that, folks. Well, I'm sure we've all experienced that at some point in time, whether we were the ones that was receiving or the ones given. We've all experienced it. And we have to be careful. Christ is our example. And Christ, when he had something to say to the Pharisees and the scribes, he didn't just warn his disciples to watch out for them and to stay away from them. He went directly to them and told them, "They're a brood of vipers. They're whitewashed walls." He spoke directly to them. So there's an example for us. The bottom line is we should love everybody, even people we don't know. And maybe especially them, because they might be an angel. We should live God's love, mercy, and grace, not just receive it and believe it, but also share it. How are we doing at that as individuals? How are we doing at that as a church? Something to think about. If you have a need this morning, just mind the Lord and come as we sing.